IABC Ottawa presents The Voice. The Voice offers tips, insights, and practical takeaways for members of the International Association of Business Communicators and people in communications, marketing, and creative professions. We share news and information on the latest ideas, trends, and issues to help you take your career to the next level. The Voice podcast is published by IABC Ottawa for IABC members and people in communications, marketing, and creative professions. Thank you for listening. Follow IABC Ottawa on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And please watch for future episodes of The Voice.
I'm Sherilyn Starkey, and this is The Voice. This year, we are aiming to strengthen the IABC-specific content and programming on The Voice, and that's why I'm so delighted to be able to share with you, our listeners, a presentation that was recently made by Priya Bates to the IABC CER board. Now, the CER is Canada Eastern Region, and I'm volunteering on that board this year, and this is usually attended by the CER executive as well as the presidents or leaders within each one of the chapters that spread across the Canada Eastern region. So we had a full room full of IABC volunteers and leaders, and Priya came along to talk to us about member engagement. She was a perfect person to come and have this discussion with us because, you know, in addition to being a lifelong IABC volunteer, she's an ABC, an MC, a CMP, and an IABC fellow. She is the person that took on and spearheaded the IABC global rebrand a couple of years ago. And she spent most of her career working in internal communications and employee engagement, including stints spent with Loblaws, HP, and Compaq, you know, managing employee engagement with huge employee groups, you know, hundreds of thousands of employees across different regions around the world. You'll notice the sound is not that great because of the room that we were in, but the presentation was so engaging and full of great insights that I hope that you'll persevere with it and listen to it right to the very end.
Most people look at this engagement as a program. I look at it as a system. Most people look at it as tactical when they're talking about let's launch some engagement initiatives. They usually talk about things. How many times, if you actually Googled, you know, engagement tips, you'll find lists of 25, 45, you know, 50 things you can do to engage. But that's the stuff. Some of the most things. And I'm not, you know, there are some good ideas in those lists, but sometimes if we start with the tactics, which we often do, even when we're talking to our leaders, we miss the bigger picture and the greater influence that we can have. And I've always looked at the way I do communication as very operational, you know, it's not versus philosophical. So when we talk about engagement, people talk about this big buzzword and nobody understands what it means. And I want to bring it down to a real clarity around what are we actually trying to do? Who are we trying to engage? What does that mean? Does that make sense to you guys? So a few years ago, I kind of said, based on what I'm reading about engagement, what does that mean? When you look at all of the engagement surveys, employee engagement surveys, Aon Hewitt, other surveys that are out there, they're based around what they call the Gallup 15. You guys know what that is? So it revolves around employees staying with the organization, retention rates, saying the right thing, promotion, and striving, going above and beyond. That's what the Gallup 15 and all the engagement surveys you see are based upon. And I started struggling with that definition. One, because staying is becoming a little less relevant today. And for me, when I was working with 150,000 people across a corporation, where most of your employees turned over because they were seasonal and sat in retail and didn't have any intention of staying, it was a starting point. That was a tough, was I really looking for that potential? Was that going to determine whether that was a good, that we were successful? The other thing is, from a staying perspective, I also found, and sometimes in a unionized environment, but I work, one of my big clients is a union right now, is that staying could be that you're staying because you're comfortable, not necessarily because you're delivering.
Yeah.
Right? So I struggled with the stay part of engagement. I also struggled with, I totally support the say, but the strive, because today's striving, going above and beyond, going out, you know, doing more than you are expected to do is leading to burnout. And I keep saying, imagine if 150,000 people were simply doing their job. What would be the impact of it? So there are four places that I focus on, and then you'll start seeing your little, and we'll talk about it a little bit. So, individuals who are engaged, there are four areas that we want to create goals around. Do they perform? What do performance objectives look like? If an executive is coming to me and saying, I want to engage employees, what they're really saying is, I want to engage employees to help deliver the bottom line results. I want to help engage employees to actually adopt the technology solutions that we're trying to implement. Right? We need to really think about our performance goals. And for you around this table, and around your board tables, it's very clear financial business results that you're looking for. And that's where performance comes in. Participate. What do you want your audience to do? So once you've decided what we want to accomplish, what specifically do we want them to do? So we create participation goals. What do we want them to say? And especially in this day of social media, I don't care whether it's around the water cooler or it's online, what do we want them to say? And that's where you start getting, building in things like key messages. And we want to be very clear about what, when you accomplish, when you're at the end of this board year and you said, boy, did I do a good job, what did those members say, or what did those leaders say about their experience? Because it drives a very different different way of thinking and doing when you're thinking about that. And this one's hard to measure, but I always say it's important, that an important consideration. What do you want them proud of? Right? Because pride, if we miss that factor, we miss a big part of why employees are, and any of your audiences are truly engaged. It's that, it, you know, you're actually trying to get their hearts passion behind what you're trying to do. I think about the work that I'm doing with the Ontario Nurses Association right now, which is Canada's largest nurses union, and we're engaging them to activate and advocate and fight for their rights. But boy, are they proud of what they do and proud of what they stand for as leaders. It's pretty cool to see. So, describe what that is. I want you guys to think of, and it's you know, not going to be a huge discussion about it, but if we were creating goals focused on your leadership, your board, what does chapter success look like? So you've got a template, and what you'll see in that template, it are those four goals. Under that, this is where I usually put down my goals. You know, of course, you'd go and get specific. I want to, you know, break even, whatever it is,
fingers crossed.
It could be revenue goals. It could be, yeah, it could be profit goals. It could be how many events or programs or whatever it is that we want to accomplish. But if this organization is successful, we need to think of those goals. So how about participation? What do you want that, when you think about your leaders? So definitely the performance goals are your business goals, right? But then when you're talking about your audience, what do you want them to do? How about attending meetings? Right? That's usually delivering their reports on time. And it's getting that, you know, really thinking about what that commitment is so that you articulate what that looks like. The Does that make sense to you? Promote. What do you want them saying when they're part of the board? What do you want them to say on social? You know, you talk a little bit about you want them actually promoting the events. Right? What else? Anything else? I'm sure you can think of it. You get the idea, right? In terms of how to use it. And then what do you want them to be proud of? What do you want them to feel at the end of the board year? You know, I think about, you know, the fact that I got a chance to lead people and develop skills that I wouldn't have in my day job. Right? That really contributed to my life. Absolutely. And I think there's also, you know, as the international works towards the changes that they're making, being proud of being involved in this transformation of this organization and our profession. Right? There are some really big things that are being trying to be accomplished, you know, in the long run with certification, etc. So really, really thinking about what are you trying to do against those the four P's. And I ask you to have that conversation around your table when you're thinking about members or your volunteers as well. Because it kind of gives you the surrounding. What are we here for? To move. And in some cases, you can. I'm starting very basically with what are we trying to do, but in a best case, you know, best in class process, you're probably talking to them first, asking some questions, and then coming together as a board and saying, here are our goals for you from an engagement perspective. Once we've created those goals, there is a system that we need to go through, and companies and organizations and associations forget to think holistically. Because, again, real engagement, real influence, real impact isn't a one-and-done affair. It never has been. That's where I see leaders and organizations fail. Because they went out there and made promises and they didn't stick to them, or they didn't reinforce them, and they didn't see them as something long-term that was adding to a goal that we have, you know, 5 years from now. So let me go through each of those sections. So I talk about build the foundation, train your people, recognize the right behavior, and measure and share success. There, it's amazing to me how many organizations, one, don't have the basic foundations, how many of them have the foundations and don't use them, or those that have things that are in place and they're not quite to where they need to be. So when I go into organizations, where I start is always those foundations. For me, those foundations are things like a strategy. But I also remember sitting around the IBC Toronto table when there were no strategies. I remember sitting around the Canadian region tables when there were no strategies. It was really cool to see us get to a one-year strategy, move it to a three-year strategy, right? And I think that's where you are right now, right, Tomoika? You're back to 1 year again. And that's one thing that has been interesting, and with the corporations I've worked with, there's kind of a long-term strategy, but it's a re-look at it on an annual basis because things are changing so fast, you need to be able to evaluate. And that's the one thing. Some people don't create a strategy because they're afraid that everything's changing so fast it's not worth it, but you still need those guideposts that you're working towards, even if you're being flexible and moving around based on what's happening in the market. Yeah, and it's usually like, even when we're working through what we are right now with ONA, which is the Ontario Nurses Association, it's what are the three things we want to focus on if we accomplish something this year? You know, to say that we've really moved the organization and are in forward. We also, you know, I look for things like key messages. I look for things like brand. I look for codes of ethics, code of conduct in organizations. What are those? And so in the template, you see that? you don't have to fill in every single box, but it helps you think through it. What, from a performance perspective, what foundations with any of these things, what foundations already are built for the organization, for you? What would you say? You mentioned one just a little while ago.
What?
You mentioned that you looked at the IABC.
Yeah, exactly.
You looked at the mission.
And basically the communicators at the heart of every organization, where we've adopted that.
Exactly. So there are things that are already there. The bylaws are there for you. The code of ethics is there for you. And that branding is there for you. Right? When I started the brand effort in 2013, we did not have any values. IABC, the Professional Communications Organization. And here's what kills me. Here's what absolutely killed me personally. Was I didn't know that, and I was a volunteer for 20 years. I just assumed it was there. I kind of adopted the code of ethics as our values, and like there was things that we felt were our values. We kind of, it must be, and all of us, I had international team of 12 around the table, I think it was at least 12, when we all was part of that effort. And we all were like, what do you mean there's no values? We just thought it was there. It was amazing to go and research and look through all the papers and go, there's nothing. It doesn't exist. There was no value proposition. There was a brand that people followed loosely with no real guidelines. But there have been times when I've looked at those foundations and said that the foundations are broken. So, for instance, when the lawyers at Law came to me and said, We need to make sure employees follow the code of ethics, the code of conduct. It was the code of conduct, and my first question was, okay, so let's look at the code of conduct, and it was probably what most of you are familiar with. It was a document that everybody signed that was full of legalese that nobody really understood, right? And so I went back to the lawyers and said, well, you know, we have a code of conduct, but I don't understand it. Nobody understands it. And they said, well, it's full of legalese. We need to bring it down. And their first reaction was, well, we need that to protect ourselves. And I said, what's better? Do we want, what is our goal? What's our performance? Do we want to make sure that we protect ourselves from a liability when somebody does something wrong? Or do we want them to understand what wrong is so they don't do it in the first place? Which one will save us more money? And that created a very, very different conversation when I spent 6 months with a room full of lawyers to not only change the law code of conduct, I also did Weston Foods and George Weston Limited and worked with all of their lawyers to create that code of conduct that now they can say people understand. And then there was all these plans that I left by that point to actually measure, have very clear metrics against knowing that we'd actually accomplished our goals. Right? So there are times you're going to look at what are those foundations that you have in place, you know, and you're going to build them or you're going to change them. But it's a good place to start because sometimes you don't know they even exist. Right? So it's worth having that conversation. So you look at key messages are another one. What are the, you're talking about, you know, you want people to promote, but what do you want your leaders to say? Would you ever think of putting together a set of key messages that everybody can stand behind?
Yeah.
But isn't it, like in any organization, whenever you've done your work, starting with that is really important. Why do we just don't do it when we're actually leading the actual communications association? It seems to be consistent across the board. So it's something that we need to think about and really articulate. Train your people, right? So again, and the stuff that I talk about applies equally to your workplace as it does to this experience. I am amazed. I always talk about the pitfalls, right? I call it, you know, the first one is the field of dreams. So you've done your work and found out we have all these foundations. And then you say, does anybody know about them? And it's amazing to me how organizations I work for where you've got a great benefits plan and nobody knows that benefits plan. And you think the grass is greener on the other side and you don't realize the value that already exists. You know, it's the field of dreams for me is typically IT is the best example for me. They all believe that if you build it, they will come. Right? So you've got it, you've built this great plan, you've built this great brand, you've built this, you know, great strategy, and that's where it ends. So what are you actually doing to train your leaders, maybe your volunteers, or communicate to your members about some of those things that, those foundations that exist? Training, so the field of dreams is if you build it and just stays there, know what they do, nothing with it. The other piece is we put a big celebration, I call it launch and leave. You launch it and you're very excited about it and then you never check it again. I was very worried about that with the brand. Right? I did not want my reputation to be linked to something that we launched and left. It has to be reinforced on a regular basis. Whether it's the values, I know that when I do editorial conferences with my clients and with my teams, how are we bringing in the strategy? How are we bringing in the values? How are we bringing in all those the key messages, all those foundational pieces into how we communicate on a regular basis so they're reinforced? And how do we, you know, we launched the brand and the first year, when a new board comes in, are we reinforcing and training them on those elements every single year? Or at least pointing to them and saying where they exist on the website. Right? We don't do that. And then we have like noise and confusion. I have a typo there. No, it's when we actually do too much. We create too much noise, kind of what you're talking about, Sarah.
There's too much.
Mm-hmm. So we need to dial it back a little bit. So you have to kind of watch where if there is too little and there's too much is what I'm trying to say when we think of training. And training is both formal and informal. So I think of training as training, formal training, and communication. Right, which is still a little bit of training. You're still trying to get awareness. You're still trying to create action. But you need to think of both. And when you've got a board coming in, what do you guys do to train? And I love for IBC to have a standard orientation, even if it's online. Here's communication 101. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah,
so actually, like, look at some of those basic things. Like, these are things we forget to do. And it's not just, again, I repeat, it's not just you around the table doing it in your extra time. These are corporations that this is their bread and butter, and they simply, you know, create something. How many consultants? I'm a consultant now, right? It used to drive me crazy when these consultants would come in, and I've seen all of them, McKinsey and Anderson, and like every single one I've worked with at some point. And they come in, and they create this great plan and tell us what we need to do, and then they leave. And nothing. And all that time and all that effort. And my goal is to make sure that whatever I've brought in has some stickiness and sticks. Because I don't think we've actually had an impact or influence. I don't feel I've done my job until I see the results. Right? So think about everything that you have that you're not actually telling your leaders about. Recognition. How many of us forget to say thank you? Mm-hmm. Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking care of our chapters. Right? Thank you for doing what you've done. You can't underestimate the power of simply saying thank you in the moment when somebody's done something great, or around the board table when you are doing your board report and recognizing some real accomplishments every single month. Right? And yes, you can have, you know, all of those, you know, I believe that the everyday thank yous are more valuable than the formal recognition plans. Right? The formal recognition is nice. Right? We are very proud when we get a chapter management award or become chapter of the year. Right? Very proud. Those things are really exciting. Those are the big, big recognitions. But we also need to be ready to do that. And because we're caught up and we're too busy, we forget.
Yeah.
One of the things I'm thinking of doing with the team at ONA is actually doing a call out to all the other departments and saying, I want you to tell me every month when somebody on the team has done a really great job. As small as it is, whatever it is, because I'd like to then bring that up at the team meetings on a monthly basis. Because imagine how moving and important that would be to those people who just... Because we're all in the day-to-day grind, right? And more so when if you've got volunteers around the table who are have the day-to-day, have their families, have their partners, and then have IABC that they're giving time to on top of all of that. How much more important is those recognitions? So think about how are you purposefully incorporating that in how you lead? So if you're one of your engagement goals is getting people to speak up more and contribute more, when you're mapping that out, what does recognition look like? Right? It's us acknowledging that feedback, it's using it. It's, you know, it's exactly that. But really carrying it through. So you're not just saying, this is what we want you to do. Now we're actually going to have a whole holistic process that recognizes you for doing it. And then, because you have to measure. Right? Measure and share success. So when we've actually accomplished the goal, how exciting it is. Is it, if you're having a particular, like what I just said about the Canada West conference, it is sold out. That's a pretty good metric to be communicating to that group that's been working really hard and communicating that widely. Right? It's the how regularly are we sharing this and shouting it out? If people are comfortable, right, Saras? Like being able to recognize at an event, the volunteers and the leaders who made that happen, and doing it with the general membership. Putting out a story about that great program, or highlighting the CMPs and the SCMPs who've just recently received their recognition. Right? You want to be when you're figuring out your goals, you want to have your, you know, real goals. Outcomes, output, and then when you've accomplished them, or you've gotten close, or you've made movement, let's actually talk about it. Talk about it from a measurement perspective and sharing success, right? So it reinforces it to everyone. And it's something that, like, you know, when I work with corporations, why do you think we have quarterly town halls with all of our results? Right? We want to recognize the success. I also, from an engagement perspective, used it as an opportunity to talk about some of our failures. Right? It had to be balanced messaging, but that also led to something else. We want to, what does this feel like? I want to make sure employees trust my organization. Right? That trust leads to engagement. They're proud of the fact that they can trust us. So you can actually use this in good or bad. But you want to be definitely sharing success and sharing your stories and looking at it holistically. Right? So, and you guys have the tools, right? You've got your website, you've got your newsletters, you've got your events where you can talk to members, and when it feels good, when they're proud of their accomplishments, when they see that things are, you know, there's a movement that's happening here, they all want to be part of the crowd, right? You see those first few people who are starting, but there's going to be a tipping point. I believe that even with the certification, we've got the early adopters, thank you for being an early adopter, who are going to go where no man has gone before, slowly and, you know, carefully. But we're going to get to a point where people are going to start realizing, I can talk to you about the certification at length, and that'll be another 1 hour presentation, so I won't give you that. But I think people don't realize that what the organization is trying to do is really create respect for the profession, that it is something that is strategic and necessary in our world.
Thank you, Priya, for volunteering your time to come and meet with CER and being so generous in sharing your knowledge and experience with our team of volunteers. And thanks also to Abby Radovsky, our producer of this podcast, and Thornley Follis Communications, our continuing sponsor. Check our show notes to find out how you can reach Priya online. I'm Sherry Lynn Starkey, your host of The Voice, IABC Ottawa's podcast. You can find us at ottawa.iabc.com or online or on Facebook. We're proud to be a member of the FIR Podcast Network.